Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. We are live from Latitude 30 on Jacksonville Southside, right across from the Avenues Mall. Now, normally we're sitting right out front, you know, where there's a nice stage right by the bar. We can see the bowling alley and the TVs. Is anybody else feeling like the kids at the Thanksgiving Day kids table? Right? Back in this room. It's a nice room. But
what happens when you're 1-4?
I was going to say, they've got a band in here. They've got a band in here this evening. The folks at Latitude 30 told us weeks ago it was going to be this way. So if you're coming down here and you want to take part in the show, and we welcome you to, come right back into the comedy room where there's a stage set up. And they've got the lights.
Brian will be doing comedy here soon. Comedy act?
Yeah, I'm funny.
You are funny.
Yeah. Well, looks don't count, though.
There's supposedly a closet in the back if we lose this weekend.
We're not sensitive.
You are so negative.
Though. I'll be here all night.
by the way,
there you go.
Do you guys get Ryan Robinson's tweets? Do you follow him
on
Twitter?
Yeah.
Isn't he coming tonight or something?
He's supposed to be coming bringing Fred Taylor posters.
Okay.
So
he'll
get some.
He said, is there food there? And I said, yes. And he said, is it free? And I said, you.
We'll buy.
We might take care of you.
No, by the way,
he needs a salad.
Me and Tony just got done scarfing down about one half of the steak nachos. Once again, 2 weeks back to back. That's how good they are.
You're happy. You got here early. You got here before Boselli.
I did. That's good stuff.
It is good.
The big question of the night is what's next? Food wise.
Well, for you, it's what's next, and what's next. There will be many for you.
Okay.
And we know what you're going to end the night with. So, somebody just ordered the cobbler right now. So
No.
I've already talked to Allie. Last week we had a little mix-up.
We didn't
get the cobbler order in soon enough, and she's putting it in tonight at 7 o'clock. So at 7:30, it will be ready.
So she pulled a Boselli last week. Did you hear?
What?
She ate the whole thing.
No, she did not.
That's what she said.
Gosh, I love her.
All right. Our phone number this evening, as it's been for years and years, is 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Lovely Linda's back inside the studios waiting to take your calls. She'll tell her old man who's sitting here with us, hey, Joe, how are you tonight? Does your microphone not work?
How do we get Linda here and Joe back at the studio?
Just ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you guys want.
Just ask. Okay. He's got a list. Can you take a list?
Mm-hmm. All right. Sure.
So here we go.
So are you guys refreshed like I am after the bye week?
Yeah.
I feel no different because I worked all week and I was up in Philadelphia before Juan Castillo got fired.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, and we'll get into that at some point. But, I mean, it was nice to take a break from Jaguars football for a weekend. And, talking to a lot of fans, I think they needed the same thing. They needed a
four
break
days
from
away.
The anger.
Mm-hmm. But that's not a good sign after week five.
I know.
Fans are looking for a break, isn't
no,
it?
No, I know that.
I'm not sure that's really the motto.
Well, it is what it is, though. And
it is. No, I agree.
They need
I agree.
It.
I agree with that. It's just I wish we did not need a break.
And we'll talk about Juan Castillo later. But that was
I witnessed it firsthand.
What?
I witnessed
let's do it now. What do you mean you witnessed it firsthand?
Well, I was at the game that got him fired.
What happened?
They gave up a 10-point lead with 5 minutes left in the game. And
you're talking about putting a guy in position to fail, though. He's an offensive line coach.
And they did the
defense
same.
Coordinator
and he wanted the job.
Yeah. Okay, put yourself in position.
Did you notice anything that he did?
Well, it's 2 weeks in a row. Here's what it is Andy Reid understands that he's going to be fired if they don't make the playoffs. And so it's an act of desperation. And my guess is he went – I wouldn't even be surprised if Juan didn't go to him and say, listen, just I'll take the bullet because him and Juan are very close. And I think he had to make a move to do something to send a message because they lost to – the Steelers on the last drive of the game after having the lead. And then they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Detroit Lions. And the only critical thing I'd say about Juan, first of all, they've gone 3 straight games with 0 sacks. That's not on the defensive coordinator. I mean, the same front four had 50 last year. So, I mean, nothing has changed there. The only critical thing I'd be about Juan Castillo, what he did, for whatever reason in the fourth quarter, he decided to start going more single high safety and not putting a safety over Calvin Johnson.
Which, oh, how do you not do that? That's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
I mean, Calvin Johnson's the best wide receiver
Calvin
in the National
Johnson
Football
had
League.
One catch going into the fourth quarter. He ended up with five for over, like, 130.
That, to me, that they were the most overrated team in the NFL coming into the season.
And I'm not sure they're that good.
Who?
Anyways.
The Eagles?
Yes.
The Eagles.
They're not very good.
I don't know. The Cowboys are right up there, too.
Yeah, but everybody talked about this was the year. They were the Super Bowl favorite. You know, this was a team that was average last year.
And Michael Vick is just okay.
And has an average quarterback. And, you know, they didn't do that
and
much.
And they lost their best two offensive linemen for the year.
They were the hyped team that I just never believed was going to be that good.
Since you're going there, how about the fact that all but two teams in the AFC are
500 or less?
Right, and you look at it.
We're not out of it by any means.
No, but and I'm not even going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to the quarterback play. How about Philip Rivers with four second-half interceptions?
For touchdowns.
Right. You know, I mean, it's you've seen some quarterbacks, some established veteran quarterbacks play poorly. I mean, it's. I'm just wondering if the NFL is this year as good as people thought it would be, or if this is a year where there's just not a lot of great play.
I don't think there's a great team. I don't think there's a great team.
Now that the Ravens are getting hurt, I tend to agree with you.
Well, first of all, their defense has been suspect all year.
Right.
Now they are exposed for what they are, given back-to-back 200-yard games. They are the 26th-rated defense in the NFL. And it's not like it's just the rush or 22nd against the pass.
So Didn't it just feel like the Giants are going to be there at the end?
The Giants could argue they're the best team in the NFL, what they did last week. My point in saying that, it changes every week. Mm-hmm. Atlanta Falcons, everyone says, is one of the best teams, and I hope they are for Smitty, but watching them play,
they're not a dominant
team. Barely beating the Texans.
Well, and Matt Ryan had three first-half interceptions, too.
Here's the difference between the good teams and the bad teams right now. Play the quarterbacks. I mean, you look at
right.
Oh, I agree.
You look at the top-rated quarterbacks in the National Football League and look at the record that goes along with that.
Outside of, you know, there's a couple guys, Aaron Rodgers, they're 3-3, but they should be 4-2 without the mystery Hail Mary.
Yeah, in Seattle. I mean, that was
but
tragedy.
Seattle's 4-2 with Russell Wilson. They have the best defense in football.
And a completely
that's
different
one
team
anomaly.
At home than on the, well,
no, their defense is
they're
unreal.
Really good at home.
Really good on defense.
Right.
Yep.
So they're going to win their games at home, but it's hard to imagine them doing much in the playoffs if they have to go on the road.
But it is an interesting year this year in the NFL, and being in several different stadiums so far and seeing a bunch of different teams. I don't know. I think, and I was on a radio show this morning in Baltimore because I'm doing the Texans-Ravens game this week. And they asked the question, you know, where does the Ravens rank? And I said, listen, I think they're one of seven teams in the NFL right now that would be the quote-unquote elite teams. I think there's about seven of those. And then there's another drop-off, and then there's probably three tiers right now. But any one of those seven teams, and really a couple of the teams a couple notches below could move up quickly because I don't know if there's that great a difference, and I agree with Jeff. Quarterback play is a big part of it. But I think there's a lot of – we talk about parity all the time. I think maybe more than ever there's – I mean, the parity in this league because of – I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I was just about to ask. I mean, if you could put your finger on why it's just not exceptional. Why a guy like Philip Rivers throws picks or Matt Ryan throws picks or Michael Vick, who's just doesn't appear to be the same guy.
Well, I think Michael Vick has always been just
– he appears to be the same guy.
I think he's the same guy. I mean, Philip Rivers is the one that is a little bit mysterious to me.
He's a mystery because about 3 years ago, I thought Philip Rivers on his way to be close elite. To being the guy. And, you know – sort of like Joe Flacco is now, where he's right at that cusp of being
so,
elite.
Well, how about another
one argument could be is the fact that so this is the second year now where you have greatly limited the practice time of NFL teams, not just in season but out of season. You've limited the reps, you've limited the exposure, you limited the time to work on fundamentals because you don't have time to do it.
But that happened last year.
I know, but maybe it's I'm just saying. I'm guessing now. A cumulative effect that year after year, you're going to start seeing. You know, the less elite teams.
And it's become so much more dependent on
it's a quarterback league.
On how the quarterback plays week to week. And you saw that on a Monday night. Philip Rivers played okay in the first half, played awful in the second half, and the game totally turned.
Yeah.
Well, here's the top-rated quarterbacks in the National Football League, starting at the top. Aaron Rodgers.
3-3.
Yep. Okay. Peyton Manning.
3-3.
RG3.
3-3. Or 4. Yeah, 3-3.
At number four, Ben Roethlisberger.
2-3. So far, no over 500.
Matt Ryan.
6-0.
Tom Brady.
3-3.
Alex Smith.
4-2.
Eli Manning.
4-2.
Christian Ponder.
4-2.
Joe Flacco.
5-1.
I mean, so, but I mean, you see, there you go. There's not a losing, well, there's one.
No, you know, the point is, there's not very many great, there's,
right.
Everyone's at 500. I mean, every team is 500 or under in the AFC, except for two teams. And that's why, I mean, it's.
If your theory holds true, will we see in the second half of the season better play because now they've had more time to work? You know what I mean? I mean.
I don't know because, you know, injuries always take a part in that. But let me read the bottom five rated quarterbacks in the league. Just you know, for comparison.
Just for kicks.
Matt Cassel.
1-5.
Dead last. Brandon Whedon.
1-5.
Mark Sanchez.
3-3.
Andrew Luck.
2-4. No, 2-3 because they had the bye week.
Okay.
And Blaine Gabbert.
1-4.
So, I mean, but, I mean, you know. Yeah. It just goes to show, I mean, if you've got a quarterback who's playing well, you're going to be in the mix.
And if you don't, you're just not.
Right.
I mean, that's even more than the top.
That's the opposite of what Jeff said, so you're right.
Well, but even more than at the top. At the bottom, the guys.
It's a struggle.
Right. At the top.
Well, where's Russell Wilson, though?
A lot of the best quarterbacks are 3-3.
Russell Wilson.
I bet you he's down near the bottom.
If I can find him.
Need a little Jeopardy music here, Joe.
The voice is good radio.
I need my glasses
this
on.
This is great radio. We're all
we are knocking it out of the park.
Russell Wilson, 17th, middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. Oh, look at Ryan Robinson showing up looking for free food.
Allie, take care of him. And let's do this. Let's throw it over to Joe. Let's regroup ourselves and
let's do a little better job. I'm not pleased with our bye week preparation.
Right, well, you know, you just hope the Jaguars don't play in the first quarter sluggish, kind of like we are getting
I expected more out of John Osher. It's disappointing.
Well, he left his Raiders garb at home. That probably would have turned you on.
That's a stretch.
All right. Joe.
All right, Brian. The Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like deal deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Just visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Jaguars This Week presented by Anna continues live at Latitude 30 on Jaguars Radio. Well, gang, the 18th annual Junior War production for girls aged 6 to 17 is going to have camp days November 10th, 17th, and 24th from 2 to 4:30 p.m. It all leads up to a halftime performance on November 25th. All the girls will get a uniform, palms, T-shirt, and commemorative DVD. Registration ends Friday, October 26th, so hurry. More information, go to Jaguars.com, click on Cheerleaders, and then Junior Roar.
All right, well, we earned our place on the stage in the back room with that first segment, guys, so we got to do better from here on out.
Speak for yourself. I thought I was outstanding.
Shaking off the bye.
I was really good, but my microphone didn't work.
Right, and
if you were outstanding.
I was trying to get in all the time.
And he can't see. So it took him a while to read. John, though, there's no excuse for John.
Somebody needs to make a play.
He is a professional. He's supposed to be an expert, journalist.
Here's the play.
John's been struggling all week because on Monday night, Jaguars All Access.
Wasn't very good.
Does he want another microphone? We can get him another one.
He had to don a little Raider Nation garb.
Why?
To do his little ozone.
Why were you in Raider Nation garb?
Black hole.
Okay. That explains everything.
Yeah, the shoulder pads.
Is that on YouTube yet? Can I find it on YouTube?
It's on Jaguars.com.
All right, I'll pull it up so that Vaselli and I can see it. Because I haven't seen it. I've heard of it, but
and
I
haven't
seen it.
And he's got the plastic Nerf swords and then a Halloween mask.
And I'm getting a little flack from the guy who wore the pink tux. I'm just going to ignore it.
It was orange.
It was orange, please. Okay.
All right, so let's...
You will not give me grief about
transition. Guard. We can compare what we got.
Let's transition to it's quarterback. Point. And in particular, Gabbert.
Yeah, find a segue for that.
Well, I'm going right there. I'm going right
there. Johnny O in the black hole to the quarterback.
I'm going right to the quarterback. And that is because we were talking about the teams with the winning records are getting winning quarterback play, and what's it going to take? You know, you heard Mike Mularkey last week talk about the clock in Gabbert's head, and this week he wants to see him run more. So what's it going to take to get winning quarterback play?
Just because I didn't hear the comment, like run when he's flushed, or he wants to like run the zone option, like RG3.
No,
when he's flushed.
Flushed. I didn't hear
when
the comment.
Opportunity's there.
Gotcha.
Essentially,
got it.
And he also wants Blaine to do, and what he was talking about slowing the clock down is when Blaine drops back in the pocket and as the routes start to develop out in front of him, is to give the deeper routes time instead of going one look and saying it's not there and then throwing it to the check down. And I get that because, you know, after that first game in Minnesota, had an offensive line that wasn't very good there for a stretch of games, and I think that affected his clock as well. And so what the head coach wants him to do, slow down, let the route develop, have confidence in your offensive line, have confidence in the route, and then push the ball down the field. And, that needs to happen. I mean, if he's going to get better, those things have to happen.
But I think it's got – I think we've reached the point where it needs to happen and it needs to be seen. It needs to be – it doesn't have to be Sunday, but over the next 6, 7, 8 games, there has to be some improvement, not just from Blaine, but the entire offense, but it does need to start there.
Well, I think Sunday – I think it needs to start Sunday. Sunday's a – coming out of the bye, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. As you go down this schedule, you start looking at teams that you should be better than and games that you should expect to win. And I think all of us would have said before the season started that the Oakland Raiders were a team, even though it's a long trip and all that nonsense, that, it's not the end of the – it's not like you're trying to
– they don't out-talent you.
It's not like you're trying to go to the moon to play a football game. It's a 5-hour trip, 3-hour time difference. They don't out-talent you. Jeff watched the film. I know we'll get into evaluating the Raiders later in the show. But why I think Sunday is critical, because this is one of those teams. This is not the Green Bay Packers that you go next week and go up to Lambeau. When the Green Bay Packers are a better ball club right now. They have one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in football. They have the best, maybe the best pass rushing outside linebacker / defensive end. So there's a lot of matchup issues you worry about there. With the Raiders, there's not. That's a team that you line up, they're struggling, and you should beat them. The Jacksonville Jaguars should go to Oakland and win that ball game. And so I think the expectation, fan-wise, team-wise, all of us is, boy, coming out of the bye, it needs to start this Sunday.
And here's the other reason it's important. So far, the four losses, you can make the argument they've competed with the teams you sort of expected them to compete with, which is the Vikings and the Colts. The Raiders are another team that they should compete with. If you don't go out there and compete, then all of a sudden you're slipping behind the teams that you ought to be with.
Compete.
Tony, you said compete. That they should win. I'm with John in that this should be a game in which you compete. I don't want to say win.
I'm going to say it because I'm tired of saying, the three of you.
You can't look at any team.
Forget Brian because he hasn't said it.
Say the Jaguars should win.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we did.
True.
We did at the beginning of the year.
Winnable.
We said those are games they should win. That's what we said. And I don't think any of us are ready to say that if they come back and lose 24-21, they're going to be going, boy, they're really competitive. That's great.
That's true. True.
I mean, I don't think any of us – I know you're not, Jeff.
No.
This is a game they should win. This is a game you look at the talent.
I can't say that right now about this football team.
I'm not saying they're –
because they've lost the last two games at home. They've lost.
I'll play – number one, I agree. If they show up and play the way they have, they're not going to win. But that's not acceptable. That's not what I expect out of this ball club. That's not what anyone should expect out of this ball club. The expectation is, because of what we saw in the preseason and the progress that we saw, the expectation is that they should be better. And if they are better and they play better, I expect them to win.
And coming out of the bye, you'd expect them to be better.
I expect them to be better. I expect them to go out to Oakland because they should be better than Oakland.
Well, me and Johnny have a plan of attack. I don't know if we actually today we did the Inside the Jaguars on Jaguars.com. Thank you, Linda. And
you got the pause down.
We've got a plan of attack that when you travel on a long airplane, you deal with –
you're going to be there 2 days. You should have plenty of time to get acclimated.
No, but you deal with dehydration issues.
Very important.
They have actually studied that, and the Jaguars' plan is that they tell the players to drink one water and one Gatorade per hour on the plane. And so me and Johnny We're going to find a way to get into first class and have, hopefully unlock the bar.
And do it.
We're going to have two drinks per hour.
And, see, and get dehydrated more.
Get dehydrated. So that then we
it won't affect you.
Saturday getting rehydrated.
Well, I might get dehydrated.
What do you think? What do you think about? Because segue from you guys getting drunk on the plane is which I, they're joking because
of course
it's a complete joke because
can't happen.
It can't happen. It's against the rules. But in all seriousness, what do you think about?
But it would be fun.
What do you think about? I'm not going to go there.
I'm not going there.
What do you think about the? What do you think about the team? Mike has decided. Mike Mularkey has decided to go 2 days early instead of the 1 day. Different teams do different things. Some teams just go out the day before. With Tom, I remember when Tom was the coach, Jeff. One time we went out two days before.
On Friday, one day.
The rest of the time we went out Saturday.
Jerry Ball game, you went out 2 days early, right?
And we lost, and we went out one day.
Jaguars have gone west 3 times on Friday. They're 0-3.
Right, and the one time we went on Saturday, at least we won.
Right,
we beat Oakland.
But the overall record going west, period, is
2-6.
So I mean, it's not like there's a big. Two
and no, we also lost to Seattle going on Saturday.
Hey,
so it's not like
going out on a Friday.
You think it matters?
It does not matter.
Well, then why not go Saturday?
Because John wants Atlanta, to get dehydrated. You know, in Atlanta's last 4 years, which is what Mike's recent frame of reference is, I think they've been 4-5-0 out west,
and they go early,
and. I believe they went early. I'm not sure they went early every time, but Mike said they've done that.
If so, they think it's right, that's what they should do.
It's whatever they want to do.
I'm starting the conversation for the fans. I mean, I know
take a sugar pill if you think it's right. You know what I mean?
Medically, I agree.
Physically, there's not much of a difference between Friday. It takes longer than that to have your body clock adjust.
I know when I travel back from east to west, I feel fine on the elliptical, you know, that next morning. I mean, there's no side effects from the flight at all.
You haven't been on an elliptical in years.
I was this morning. I'll let you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thank you.
All right, Joe.
About time.
And that second breakfast tastes great either way.
He is totally
look who's talking.
Lost all the ground I mean, that he gained from that elliptical.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Atlas over there is talking. I mean, my goodness.
Please, Joe.
All right, gang, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on. Hey, you're coming home from work or maybe heading out for evening, stop on by. We're here till 8 o'clock. Even got a Fred Taylor poster to give you while they last. We'll be back after news here on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Cons Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win.
All right, Joe, thanks. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week live from the friendly confines of the stage in the comedy room at Latitude 30, right across from the Avenues Mall. We're here every Wednesday night from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Normally, we're out front. Today, we are back on the stage, and we're feeling the pressure right now. We won't lie. So let's go back to the quarterback issue and quarterback play. And you mentioned guys around him have to play better, John. Mike Mularkey said on his radio show Monday night, 5 games, 18 dropped passes by wide receivers. And you're talking about, you know, situationally speaking now, I mean, I don't have the list and what it was, but, you know, continuing drives, building confidence, gaining momentum, maybe a red zone touchdown, right, if the ball goes to, you know, Kevin Elliott mm-hmm. as he's running, you know, things like that. It's the play around the quarterback that Mike's been touching on as well.
Yeah, I mean, he said today in his press conference he's not sure why the defense and the offense has been dropping balls, but it has to stop. I mean, you have to make those basic plays in order, you know, to even be competitive. And he made the comment today, we've seen what happens when you don't do that, and what happens is you're 1-4 and you have ugly losses. So it's got to change. I mean, the players who are here have to play better, and it has to happen now. I mean, we've been saying it all year. They've got to play better. They've got to play better. At some point, that has to happen.
When you're talking about wide receivers and Justin, here's the stats on targeted versus receptions for the Jaguars receivers. Justin Black targeted 33 times, only 13 receptions.
Not a good ratio.
That's not a good ratio. Cecil Shorts, 19 targets, 8 receptions.
It's a little bit better.
It's better.
Not very good, though.
But you'd like to have it better. Maurice Jones-Drew, 18 targets, 14 catches.
Problem is, those are all checkdowns.
And those are obviously that's the ratio you'd like to have for everybody, but you're not going to get it.
Well, but you don't. I mean, you don't want him having that many targets.
No. LaRon Robinson, 17 targets, 9 receptions. That's not bad for a deep receiver. I'd take 50% on a guy who's typically running deep, although that's not what LaRon does all the time. Mike Thomas, where he's gone, I have no idea. 17 targets, 7 receptions.
4 of them against the Bears.
And Mercedes Lewis, this is outstanding, targeted 16 times, 14 catches. So if you look at those, what he's saying, you're saying
throw to the tight end.
Throw to the tight end. Justin's got to get better. The relationship between Justin and Blaine.
You know,
and
be
Cecil
interesting.
Because of it's that 50% ratio, but I mean his plays are
Why did
big
Cecil
plays.
Shorts only get 13 snaps in the game against the Bears? That I thought was a number that I noted because we're talking about Mike Thomas, who has been non-existent since the regular season began. Cecil's got 4 of his 8 catches for greater than 20 yards. You know, he's got a 34-yard touchdown, a 39-yard touchdown, 34-yard catch, 80-yard score. How come he only got 13 snaps?
It started out because when they started out in training camp, you know, a young wide receiving group, they had LaRon Robinson, and then they had behind him Brian Robiski, and then Kevin Elliott. And then on the other side of the field, it was Justin Blackmon, Cecil Shorts, Mike Thomas. So that was kind of the depth. And because they're all young wide receivers, they never really cross-trained any of them to where that they could learn and play multiple spots. Being that they were young, they just said, learn this position, and then that way you can do that position well, and we don't want you to get totally confused by learning multiple positions, because it's very different playing X or Z or whatever the third wide receiver position is that they call. F, maybe,
W.
When they get 3 wide receivers. So when they go into the regular season, there's no Brian Robiski. And so Kevin Elliott was the next guy up, trained as the X. And so when LaRon went down, Kevin was the guy. Now, I think that they should have been working on that when they found out Brian Robiski wasn't going to be the guy.
You know, I think the more interesting thing
now that's what I'm assuming, right? Because I mean, they otherwise why would you take Kevin Elliott and put him in? I know you like Kevin Elliott,
right?
But I mean, wouldn't you think that they would go with a Mike Thomas or a Cecil Shorts, especially after some of the productivity that he had?
Well, they're changing that this week. Cecil Shorts is going to start, so it stands to reason they've gone back and said, okay, that was a mistake. We need to get this guy on the field more.
But we're talking about receivers and the targeted, and which indicates whether it's drops or bad throws or whatever, or passes defended. It'd be interesting to look at, and we got the Jaguar insider here tonight. Someone should do a study or a look at where the ball is thrown on the field. And so where are the targets? You know, from 0 to 5, you have this many attempts. From, you know, 5 to 15, you have this many attempts. And beyond 15 yards, you have this many attempts. That would be interesting to see, because my guess is from watching the games and watching the tape, one of the issues we have, and Mike has talked about it with the clock and Blaine having a clock, mm-hmm. allowing things to develop. Another thing we need to develop, not just catching the ball better and eliminating the drops and having a higher percentage of targeted to catches, but also of pushing the ball down the field, we need to get out of the 0 to 5 where the majority of our passes right now are probably being thrown.
It's far too bunched up.
Well, and that's why Mike Mularkey's talking about slowing Blaine's clock down, you know. And it's not, and all people might interpret that as, well, he's scared of the rush. No, that's not it. It's that he's trying to make quick decisions. He's going through his progression. He's not panicking and then just hitting his check down. That's not it. You know, he is looking at it and then turning his eyes away from it too soon to go to his next option. He needs to stick with some of his primary options a little longer.
Has there been a theory of why, outside of getting hit a bunch early?
Well, when Mike first brought this up, he mentioned exactly what you just said, that because of what happened last year and in the past, that he, I guess instinctively, he thought there was a certain amount of time. And for the first 2 or 3 games this year, there was a certain amount of time. But that sort of, I don't say scarred, but that is sort of carried over.
It affected him.
Yeah. So that's Mike's theory, or it was a couple weeks ago.
Before we take a break, here's what everyone listening wants to know. Can they go out there this week and throw for 300 yards? Can they? I know we saw on opening day 260, right? and it's slowly backed away from there incrementally over the last couple of weeks. Can they go out and turn it on this week and have a big week, or has it got to rise incrementally, meaning baby steps?
Well, I mean, we'd all like 300 yards, but getting over the 250
I think
mark.
It can happen. And the reason I say it can happen.
Well, I think it can happen. Is, I mean, I think the expectation of what this team's going to be right now is, I mean, your best player is still Maurice Jones-Drew. And so you're still going to have a semblance of balance with him. And unless all of a sudden we start throwing the ball down the field quite a bit, I don't know if you're going to get the attempts and the completion percentage to be at over 300. But I'd be happy with a, you know, a 125-250 game. 125 rushing, 250 passing. I mean, that's my expectation. And I think that wins. Mm-hmm. I think that wins you a game if you do that.
Last 2 weeks, they ran for 69 yards against the Bengals, 60 yards against the Bears. Right? Are the Raiders a good run defense, Logs?
I mean, it just depends on if Richard Seymour and Tommy Kelly want to play.
Okay. If they want to play, can they stop Maurice Jones-Drew like the Bears and the Bengals have?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the Jaguars.
If those two guys bring it, that's a completely different defense in Oakland.
Okay, so the Jaguars have to go out and throw it.
To give the insider just brought me the passing report, 2012 passing report, all the teams where they rank them of where they throw the ball.
You know what? Say this because we'll
do
a break.
We'll do it afterwards.
Hold on to that. Joe.
All right, thanks, guys. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. Need more info? Just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, at Sonny's, you got a heap of help on the baby back ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $12.99. Make it all you can eat, just $4 more. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of Jaguars This Week, live from Latitude 30. At least it's the final segment of hour number one. Then we'll come back with hour number two, really dive into the matchups this weekend with the Raiders and the Jaguars. Hey, before you jump into the numbers that Ryan
absolutely
gave you, real quick, let me go through the injury report. LaRon Robinson did not participate, nor did Tyson Alualu, Brad Meester, or Dwight Lowry. Alualu and Meester will play on Sunday. And then Dwan Landry was limited with a knee. Daryl Smith was limited with a groin. And George Selvey, full participation for the first time for him since the regular season began with the knee injury. For the Raiders, Khalif Barnes, he's not played in a couple weeks, has he, Logs?
Inactive the last three games.
No participation from him. I'm just looking to see. They have a corner, Shawnte Spencer, who is not playing or not participating this week.
He's the same deal. He's been inactive the last three games.
And a couple of one important one for sure. That's Mike Breisel, the right guard, who was a big-time free agent pickup from Houston.
Probably their best offensive lineman.
Concussion. Richard Seymour limited with a knee. He's an older guy. So that's the injury report as of today. And the one that stands out the most for the Jaguars is Dwight Lowry, because you're going to have Chris Brzezinski out there on the field on Sunday.
Well, that
Mike Harris,
that stands out, but it also makes it stand out more because Dwan Landry is on the injury report. You know, they didn't have to do an injury report last week, so now you're talking about both safeties. You know, obviously everybody knows that Dwight Lowry is going to be out with an ankle, but then Dwan Landry shows up on the first injury report of the week.
Jeff, that's why that makes sense why they went and signed Mike Harris. Chris Harris.
Larkey said Monday that he expected Dwan to be limited early and to play. So,
but that's a concern, though.
For sure, it's a concern.
It's always a concern when you've got only one starting safety out of the two that you've got, and the one of them that is going to be available is on the injury report, and then the one that you're going to have playing on the other side, which is Chris Brzezinski, is not exactly tackled very well, and you're getting ready to face Darren McFadden.
He's easy to tackle in the open field.
Yeah. he's a tremendous back.
He's a
that's
great
got
athlete.
Great speed.
Great athlete.
So hopefully Chris Brzezinski will improve upon what he hasn't done very well so far this year. Because here's the thing. When you go out and you sign a guy, Chris Harris.
The Hitman. That's his nickname.
Is that really his nickname? It is?
Hitman Harris.
So they go out and sign.
He played in Chicago.
The Hitman. Which I don't know if you'd want to have that name in today's NFL.
You get fined every week.
Safety position, you'd lose a lot of money. But you go out and sign this guy, and then they're talking about him possibly, first part of the week, possibly starting ahead of your your backup safety. I mean, because really, Chris Pruszynski is the backup for both strong and free safety.
It's not a good sign.
You know, and you're going, whoa, wait a minute here.
Hey, real quick, before we have to break here at the top of the hour, you were looking at the
stats.
Numbers.
Going back to what we were talking about, targets, catches, and then also where the ball is thrown. Looking at the league, they track how many times you attempt the ball down the field and how many are completed. Blaine has thrown the ball 20-plus 1 yards 11 times this year, 11 attempts, 4 that connected. And so just over twice a game are they attempting down the field. And so I think that – now, that doesn't mean they're not calling stuff, but it goes back to the premise that Mike Mularkey talked about, that Jeff, as we discussed, is that the clock is so quick. And so it's not just the target, you know, catch ratio, but it's also that where is the ball going. And I think we are bunching it too much in the and then you see teams – and, Jeff, I don't know about you, but as you watch the film, you see teams sitting on routes.
Yes.
Because there's not a big threat down the field. So – I think that's something I'll be looking to for a change and a difference this second half.
Well, to me, and I know we're going to break, that's become the central issue of the season to me, is can Blaine get that fixed? Can the internal clock, you know, can the internal clock get fixed? Will he start going, you know, will he start throwing downfield effectively? That's the number one issue to decide whether he can be your guy going forward.
When he throws it, I mean, it's good. You know, and I think he's just got to be able to have that patience to let the route develop, because when he sees it,
right,
and when he throws it, that's the thing of beauty.
But it's got to start happening
more often than it has. Absolutely.
And just for a quick reference, I think Joe Flacco led the league with most attempts, 32 attempts down the field with eight connections.
Well, that's about 6 times a game.
That's 53 eight. Attempts.
Oh, 53 attempts.
That's more.
32 attempts. That's what I said, with 8.
We're reading sign language in here.
This is great.
Jaguars insider.
Thanks, insider. That's what we said, and you tried to correct us. But the bottom line is, obviously, they've played 6 games.
They go down and field a bunch.
5-plus times a game, they're going down the field.
Okay. I'd do it, too, as much as they do if I had a Torrey Smith. I mean, Torrey Smith is a tremendous player. I mean, he's when the ball's in the air, 50-50 chance that he's going to catch it, or he's going to get some type of penalty.
Can shorts be a deep threat? Can he be a vertical threat?
Not like a Torrey Smith.
Well, no, but I mean in place of LaRon Robinson.
He's gotten deep on guys so far this year, and then he showed some amazing speed outrunning the DBs in Indianapolis. But
with Robinson out, he's the best option they've got deep.
He has earned the right to play.
Don't you think, though, I know Justin Blackman's not a speedster, but I don't think you have to be a real fast guy to be a deep threat. The body control that he showed at Oklahoma State in the 50-50 ball, you think?
He hasn't shown that yet.
I know, but I'd like to see him have an opportunity, what that looked like.
Well, I think a lot of people would.
All right, news is next. We'll come back and talk about the Raiders-Jaguars Sunday, 4:25. Of course, you'll hear it right here on News Talk WOKV. News is next. Welcome back. Hour number 2 now. Jaguars this week live from Latitude 30. Doesn't feel like the kids' table anymore. Nice little crowd. Billy,
no, we were rocking it. Got JP stuff in his face. Go, big man.
So we're here until 8 o'clock every Wednesday night, and now it's time to turn our attention to Sunday's matchup, Jaguars and Raiders, and we've already done the should, could, would thing, unless you've got something more to say about that.
Should.
We're going to.
All right. So here's the thing. Let's go with the matchup with the Jaguars defense against the Raiders offense first, because if Chris Pruszynski's not on his game,
it'd be a long day.
Well, the play action will get him. And all of a sudden, you've got – now, do you see real speed when you look at these receivers? Do they have that guy?
Yes.
Yeah, Darius Heyward-Bey is an elite speed guy.
Is Darius Moore back
yet? Moore.
Is he back?
Is the other – yeah, he's back.
He had 104 yards last week in Atlanta.
He had a big game against the Falcons. I mean, so you're talking two legitimate – the one thing you will always have with the Raiders, and I don't care if it's 20 years from now, you know, and we're 21 years removed from the passing of Al Davis – the Raiders will always have speed at receiver. They've got, I mean, that's always been the Raider way. And it's a concern this week in that they have two guys with elite speed and a running back who can go the distance.
Elite speed.
You know, so you've got three guys that all have elite speed and the safety position that's going to be somewhat delinquent because you don't have one of your starters. And the safeties are going to have to be able to stop the run and worry about Hayward Bay and Moore.
All of that said, Darren McFadden's had one good game this year. So this
and
is not
I,
a team.
No, I disagree with you. He's had two good games because against the Atlanta Falcons, there was two holding calls that took about 22 or 23 yards rushing.
What games
are
you talking about?
He had 13 receptions against the Chargers on opening day.
Well, rushing. He's had one game with over 3 yards rushing. I mean, 3 yards a carry rushing. So, I mean, it should still be a back in an offense that if you're playing good run defense, you should be able to defend, is my point. It's not like, I mean, this is not Arian Foster and the Houston Texans, is my point.
No, but he's still really good.
If you remember, he had the big day here. Well, you
really did order me food.
I did.
No, I know he's good. I'm just saying this is, you know, this is not the number one rushing offense in the league coming in. It should be something that you should be able to defend.
They're averaging 78 rushing yards per game with McFadden.
Which is not a great number
for
him.
No, with a straight, you know, with a straight out star like McFadden can be.
But the concern is that you know what he's capable of. I mean, you go back to the game that it
209
was here
yards,
in 2010.
37, 51-yard touchdowns and the 67-yard screen for a touchdown.
You get nervous because you know that the guy has the ability, every time that he touches it, that he can go the distance.
I'm not saying I'm not nervous. I'm just saying it's something you should be able to stop.
You're not nervous?
Well, I'm a little nervous.
I mean, it's a big concern because if you can limit him, and I will say this about him, he is not a tough guy. He's not a pounder. You know what he reminds me of? And I remember growing up as a kid, and I remember watching the Pittsburgh Steelers because that's, you know, in the 70s, you know, that was the team that, you know, everybody watched because they were good, you know, back in the days of the Steel Curtain. And you had Franco Harris and you had Rocky Blyer. And then in that same time frame, you had Earl Campbell. And you used to watch, you know, as a kid, you'd watch Earl Campbell just bruising guys. You know, dropping the shoulder and fighting for that extra, you know, foot. And then you had Franco Harris, who used to just tiptoe out of bounds. And you had Rocky Blyer, who would fight for every yard. And John Riggins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, another guy that, you know, you kind of grew up watching as a kid. I mean, fight for every yard. And then now here comes Darren McFadden, and he reminds me a lot of Franco. And that, you know, he's not going to lower his shoulder, and although he did almost – well, he did run over Thomas Dekou against the Atlanta Falcons on one play. But most of the time –
so besides that one play.
The one play. But, I mean, if you look at him the rest of the time, when he's in traffic and when he gets around a boundary and he never initiates contact and he's quick to step out of bounds. Tony, that's one play that
joking.
He was physical.
If I were you, if I was making an argument,
I would have brought it up
because none of us knew.
I had to bring it up.
But you know, I would have left that part out.
But he didn't attack Thomas Dekou. It was almost like he kind of – just kind of protected the ball. It's not like he attacked Thomas Dekou, you know, so.
All right, so based on what you've seen.
He's not a tough guy.
None of us were going to bring up the Thomas Dekou play.
Yeah, we're good. Okay. I believe you. You could have just kept that part out.
But he scares me because if he gets rolling in an open field.
Right.
I mean, he's got elite speed.
All right. So,
but he's not a tough guy.
So who's got to play better up front?
Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone in particular you want to call out?
All of them.
Okay.
Hey, look, the front seven.
Well, C.J. Mosley's the starter now.
C.J. Right, Mosley is actually playing pretty well. I don't want to say he's playing great, but he's playing well. And so when you get past him, Terrence Knight and Tyson Alualu, they've got to play better. You know, I think Terrence is certainly capable of it. I'm worried that, you know, you've got a young Tyson Alualu. He's playing hard. But, you know, here he is, and what year is this for Tyson now?
Third.
And he doesn't practice every Wednesday now. I mean, folks, I mean, for all the people that want to criticize Tyson Alualu.
That tells you everything you need to know.
He's on the injury report every Wednesday, all of last year, all of this year. Because he's got a, you know, he's got some type of injury.
It's tough.
That they're trying to manage. You know, so it's unfortunate
for him.
Well,
it's not a secret. He's got the knee.
But he's giving you everything he's got. But he can play better. And Mincy's got to play. Mincy had his worst game, I thought, yet this year. against the Bears.
That surprises me because that was a team that tried to sign him.
I know.
I figured he'd show up to play.
Andre Branch has got to be better. I think Austin Lane did a couple good things and a couple things that weren't so good against the Bears. But that front seven, Kyle Bosworth.
I mean, basically everybody.
Boy, you hope Daryl Smith gets
back. That's what I was going.
I mean, hey, look.
How much would that improve?
Kyle Bosworth is a fifth linebacker on any team, a special teams linebacker. I mean, that's what he is. Russell Allen, I mean, I think he's a good player. What's the perfect role for Russell Allen? Fourth linebacker, special teams player, if he has to play in any three spots, you know, you'd feel good about it. You know, think about it. I mean, Russell Allen last year was the fourth guy.
So right now in the front seven, you've got basically Pozelesny and Terrence who are capable of playing at a high level.
Mincy.
Okay, so those three guys.
Oh, Austin Lane.
Who are capable. No, I'm saying who are capable.
That's what I'm saying.
Austin Lane is capable of playing above the X's and O's.
I think he's capable of playing more. I think he's capable of playing way better.
Okay, I would say Terrence. I mean,
no. What John's saying is, how many impact players in the front seven?
Right. I would say out of that bunch, and you know, while we talked about Terrence a lot last week, and you hate to call him out, but he's the guy up front who needs to be making plays above the X's and O's. Who needs to be making the big time play up front? He's capable of it. He did it against Minnesota. They're not sure why he hasn't since, but that needs to happen more.
I agree.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the show this evening, talking about Jaguars stopping the run and Darren McFadden.
You know, Brian, one of the other things that, you know, I think is very hard for people to understand, they're like, oh, holy cow, the Jaguars have three sacks. Oakland Raiders, by the way, have four. With, I think, a front, you got seven Pro Bowls and Richard Seymour, Tommy Kelly, who had 7.5 sacks last year, they only got four. But one way that they can be better up front, too, is, you know, I think that Mel Tucker, you know, he really believes in cover two. I mean, that's what he believes in. I think at some point you've got to be willing to kind of gamble a little bit.
Wait a second, Jeff. You just talked about how the injuries in the back half, you can't.
No, I'm not talking about the – I was talking about the injuries at the back half of the Raiders.
No, but you also talked about the safety issues that we have in the back half.
I know that. You're talking about safety. I was talking about back half with the safety position. Derek Cox is playing very well. I think Rasheen Mathis has played well at times.
Just to play devil's advocate here. I don't know if this is the week you're going to drop the eighth guy in the box when you're playing against one of the worst rushing offenses.
No, but I think you've got to be willing
to
take
that risk
on
some
downs.
Now you're going to put Darius Hayward Bay and Denarius Moore outside, who are speedsters, on Rasheen, who is recovering still from an ACL. I mean, I don't know if that's a matchup that bodes well.
But I still think you've got to be willing to take that chance at times, not cover zero where there's no help anywhere. But you've got to be able to take that chance to hopefully allow your defense to get to a better situation of down and distance when you get to that third down. Just a thought.
All right, and here's a thought.
In a perfect world, you'd play cover two every down.
No, I agree with you. I just know this is the way to do it.
A lot of people don't understand that what that means is that cover two, you have two safeties back deep, and they never are coming up and run support until the ball crosses the line of scrimmage. Which means that you have to generate tremendous pass rush and run-stopping ability with your front four.
And your corners have to be good run support guys.
And the corners have to be able to step up when the ball is pushed to the outside. And right now, the Jaguars aren't getting that type of – you know who plays a lot of cover two and is really good at it? The Bears. The Bears play a ton of cover two because they're good up front. The Giants play a lot of cover two because they're good up front. And right now, the Jaguars aren't good enough up front probably to play cover two as much as they do.
Just an opinion, a thought. No, and Jeff, I would agree with you most weeks. I just don't know if this is the week, one of the worst rushing teams and a ton of speed outside, you want to do that.
And you like to gamble. I'm surprised.
I'm just saying. I don't know if this is the week.
All right, Joe, take us to break.
You got it, Brian. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better.
All right, midway through hour number two, Brian Sexton along with Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Jaguars This Week, live at Latitude 30 every Wednesday night from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And we won't lie to you, this would be a whole lot better show with a win this week. Next week will be a whole lot better show.
I like the whole mood of the team and, you know, the whole mood of everything will be a lot better with a win. You're 1-4, and you're coming out of the bye. You have got to do something to turn this thing around, whether it's making plays, whether it's having that one thing happen that gets you going the right way. It's just time to get something done.
Or all of the above.
Yeah, I mean, something. And I think, you know, a fan this week wrote into the Ozone and said, yeah, we can sort of hear the frustration. I don't know if it's frustrating. I mean, it is frustrating, but you just want something to happen. They've been talking this ever since training camp. They've been talking about still feeling the good feeling. You got to see something on the field at some point. And it needs to happen this week because you got Green Bay the next week, and you don't want this thing to keep sliding.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Jaguars offensively against the Raiders. And when you talk about the Jags offense, obviously the passing game, four sacks is all the Raiders have mustered. They've been beat up in their back end as well. You know, maybe this is the week that the passing game does start to get a groove.
I mean, you talk about, and we started the show off, about the internal clock that Blaine has. And Mike Mularkey being saying, listen, it's got to be extended. You know, hit the snooze button on that baby and let it, you know, hang in there a little bit longer. This is the week to start building confidence. And the way you get better and the way you build confidence is having success, of sitting in the pocket, having the success, seeing things, having it slow down the field for you. If there's a team to do it against, it's the Raiders. Four sacks. They are not very good rushing the passer.
And the line pass blocked better against the Bears. There were signs in the first half where there was time. It stands to reason that the offensive line should get better as it plays together. It's getting healthier. So that should not be a huge issue. There should be time. And again, I keep going back to it. The internal clock with Blaine, it's going to be a theme that people are going to harp on now. That's become the thing. And that's become the theme to the rest of the season to me.
It's the third.
We've got to see that.
It's the third game that the offensive line will be back together. You know, first game, Cincinnati, when they had everybody there, but obviously things didn't go well.
Gave up six sacks.
Evan Britton really struggled, and John's right that it was better against the Chicago Bears and against the Raiders. Tony and I were talking about this. As soon as he walked in the room, he asked me what I saw on tape, and, you know, obviously Tommy Kelly and
Richard Seymour
in the middle, very good, very average at the end spots. They're average enough to where they went out and signed the aging free agent
Andre Carter,
who last played with the New England Patriots
and
blew a quad tendon.
I think it was the quad connector to his knee. I think
tore a quadricep muscle
around the knee area.
They went and signed him like September 26, and he played last week against Atlanta.
He cannot have any explosion. There's no way
he's not ready. So, I mean, that's how average they are at defensive end. But in the back end with the Raiders, they play a lot of man, which is surprising.
You know, we should be able to take advantage of that.
Nnamdi Asamoah anymore.
But that's kind of the way that the Raiders always did it under Al Davis.
This is a chance to take advantage of that. I mean, this is where
it's about time somebody
absolutely
wins.
You have to win. I go back to the confidence builder. If you have a defensive line that struggles rushing the passer, you give Blaine time, you'd hope – the competitive spirit of Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackman and Mike Thomas and Kevin Elliott, that they know they're going to get manned this week, and it's about beating your – I mean, we talked about this. We've talked about it countless times. At the end of the day, the game of football is a great team sport, but it's about individuals winning.
Well, let me ask Jeff this, and I hear all about Film Room Friday. We all love Film Room Friday.
Love Film Room Friday. So,
hey, you're my number one fan, Johnny O.
I'll throw it to Jeff. What can Justin Blackman win right now? How does he get going? What routes can he go win?
I think he can win anything one-on-one. But I think first and foremost, he's got to know what he's got to do. You know, and I haven't gotten that impression the last couple weeks that he's been where he's needed to be at all times. The pick six comes to mind against the Chicago Bears. A couple of the miscommunications were – you know, the ball's going one way and Justin's going another way. I mean, I don't know who's it on.
Right.
I just know that if I had to bet, I mean, a young receiver a lot of times.
You always blame the rookie. Just blame the rookie. It's easy.
So that's got to get better for Justin.
there's a perception that they're not trying to get him the ball, and they are.
He has the most targets on the team.
33 targets.
Well,
yeah.
But I get emails saying, why don't they get Justin the ball more? Well, a lot of that's on him to play better.
Because he's not open more.
Right.
And he's not
He's got to win.
He's got to win and win doing the right thing. You know, so.
And win often enough to be the guy who gets fed the ball. I mean, a lot of the excitement that we all felt during the preseason was because you started seeing that thing that you thought you could count on. Wow, all of a sudden Blaine is throwing to Justin. That might be something that works. You also saw with Mike Tom, you know, there were things working in the preseason that aren't working now, but primarily it was the excitement over Justin Blackman possibly being a go-to guy. I wonder if that can happen during a rookie year.
Boy, and what's happened to Mike Thomas? Oh, man. I mean,
he didn't start out camp very well. Well, I remember standing there wondering if
And then he had the games, you know, that all of a sudden the games, you know, the lights came on and Mike Thomas had a couple big preseason games. And in last week's game against the Chicago Bears, Mike is playing a part-time role as wide receiver, basically. And so he's your primary punt returner. And there at the end of the game, they had Aaron Ross in there.
And it's either going to be Aaron Ross or Michael Spurlock this week. So,
that's what I'm saying. So I
mean, yeah,
that's because the week before he let too many balls that he should have fielded drop.
But that's not a good sign. And that
No, I think we all agree. He's probably. I mean, my guess is, and I haven't looked at the depth chart, but just listening and hearing, sounds like that he's the fourth receiver on the team right now of the four guys that are healthy.
Right now he is.
Yeah.
Correct.
And just so everyone –
the leading receiver for the last 2 years is now basically –
But Kevin Elliott, a undrafted free agent rookie out of FAMU, I think we would all – and we haven't heard this. None of the coaches have said
right.
this. But our perception would
be
that he is the third receiver.
That's not even a perception. That's what you see with your eyes on game.
Right. And he's looked better, frankly.
Which is surprising. I mean, that's – you look on game day, and it doesn't take analysts
– No.
You know, or broadcasters to go, boy, Mike Thomas, what's going on with that?
And I think, I can't remember if it was the last game I saw him film or if it was the Cincinnati game. But at one point, I think it was Justin, Kevin, and Cecil Shorts as your three wides.
Which, again.
So you have a rookie free agent, and a second year third round pick.
And people get tired of hearing excuses, which I get.
But that's not an excuse. That's a fact.
That's young at wide receiver. It's young anywhere, but wide receiver is a position where second and first year guys are. It's rare to have them be ultra productive.
And no one thought. I mean, can anyone imagine that there was any thought that Kevin Elliott would be asked to play a productive role?
I thought he was going to be practice squad.
You thought he was going to get cut. I mean, I told you you were
No,
wrong
I didn't
there.
Say he was going to get cut.
Well, you have to be
you
cut.
Sort of did say cut.
Yeah, you have to be cut.
practice squad.
That's
the only way you can get on practice squad is if you get cut.
Okay.
But he is, I mean, I thought he would make the team, but I thought he was a special teams guy. I mean, we're counting on him for a productive role.
He's really
Sunday.
Good on special teams, by the way.
I told you he was. You argued with me.
No, I didn't argue on
yes,
that.
Yes, you did. You said he has development.
All right, all apologies for being wrong.
In the first game.
Well, you point out every time I'm wrong.
I actually recall this argument. In the first preseason game, he said he had to get better. By the end of the preseason, it was pretty unanimous that he was playing well in special teams.
Yeah, playing well in special teams. And by the way.
And he would be cut and make fresh one.
And then he would get cut.
And,
right.
and Johnny, because I know you're a huge fan of Film Room Friday at Jaguars.com.
I cannot get enough.
Thank you, Linda. This week's Film Room Friday is Gunners.
Can I get that early? Is there
no.
a tape? Okay. All right. I'll wait.
No. It's about the Gunners, which is Antoine Blake and Kevin Elliott. And I think from what I've seen in the league, two of the better Gunners in the National Football League.
All right. We'll come back from the break.
Tune in, Johnny O.
When are you going to do Film Room Friday on the punter?
I look forward to it.
When are you going to do Film Room Friday on the punter?
A record, possibly a record-breaking punter.
Well,
leading gross punter.
We are actually sitting for the Mike Mularkey show, the film room segment, going to be sitting down with John Bonamago and talking about the punter.
All right.
And he's got some rare footage. It's pretty cool. It's slow-mo stuff from the combine, and we talk about why he punts the ball so far. It's pretty neat stuff.
Something to look forward to. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock.
That's right.
All right.
Did I plug it? Did I get it all in? Did I plug everything?
You got it all in. All right, Joe, get us out.
All right. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics, Brian.
It's you and me, John. The cobbler arrived.
Yeah, it is. The cobbler's arrived. And I think the first step to solving the problem is admitting you have a problem.
Tony didn't want a bite of that.
He really didn't.
There wasn't going to be any of that. Not tonight. No way, no how. Now the bull's in front of him.
Oh, that's really good, too.
All right. So, the punter.
He's a good punter.
Yeah.
Just
something to add. And, you know,
we're talking about the punter. Baselli's shaking his head. We're talking about the Gunners before.
I know it. You know, nobody wants to hear about the punter. But this is pretty interesting that I didn't know this. But when you get to the Oakland Raiders release, which, you know, we got it today, and you start reading through it, because they have two guys that are outstanding at what they do. Obviously, Shane Lechler and Sebastian Janikowski, both in their 13th years, both on draft picks in 2000. And Sebastian was 17th overall. Lechler was a fifth-round pick. And the two highest, best seasons ever by punter in gross yards. Number one is 1940 Sammy Baugh, and then number two is Shane Lechler, and I can't remember the year.
I forget the year, but he was two and he was four. He's got the second and the fourth best.
Yeah, he's got the second
gross
and the fourth. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Sammy Baugh, which it's amazing that long ago the guy had that kind of a number, and it's 50. What is?
I'll grab it.
Brian
here.
Angers right now.
Angers 50.3?
50.3, and I think Sammy Baugh is 50.4. And Brian Anger is a 50.3. So if he does better, a little bit better, to end this year out, he could conceivably break the NFL's single-season gross punting average in NFL history.
Well, and there's no question. He's going to be good. He's going to be special.
But
you just can't talk about it.
I'm sorry, because you can't.
Why?
Because we're 1-4, Jeff. Yeah. You can't.
I don't care if you're 1-4 or not. If a rookie punter is doing well,
the last two things out of your mouth is we have great young gunners, and the punter is going to break a record.
I'm not trying to say that that's all great, and that's, you know, making everything. I'm just trying to say. I'm trying to point something out that, I mean, this guy is truly having a miraculous year.
No, but I think we all know he's special. You're special.
You're just angry.
I'm not angry.
You're an angry guy.
I think he's a special player. He's a special punter. He was special from the first day he got here, what he was able to do.
But
he's lived up to the hype.
But that gives people an idea of the level of how good he is.
People don't care.
I care.
No, you just said you communicated that information to tell people how good he is.
JP Shadrick cares. He cares about Brian Anger's numbers.
Unfortunately,
he doesn't.
Unfortunately, because we are 1-4.
Right.
And this is nothing to do with Brian Anger. I'm not even talking about that he's a third round pick. That does not matter.
Right.
He is the punter. Nobody cares. He could be kicking 70 yard gross.
Except this is clearly the most entertaining segment of the entire show. So somebody should care.
Well, they don't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be. This is nothing to do with Brian Anger. This is not a shot at Brian Anger. It's not a shot at anyone. But no one cares.
Here's the official numbers. Quiet, Tony. Here's the official numbers, okay?
No one cares. No one cares what the official numbers are, Jeff.
Sammy Baugh in 1940 playing for the Washington Redskins, or whatever they were called at that time. Were they Redskins?
Yeah, they were the Redskins.
Okay.
They changed from the Braves, the Boston Braves, to the Washington Redskins in 1937.
Okay. He had a 51.4 average that year. Shane Lechler is number two. In 2009, he had a 51.1.
And we're talking gross, right?
Yes.
Which I just want to make sure everyone knows that.
And Brian Anger right now is at 51.3, so he's 1/10 of a yard less than Sammy Ball's 1940
season. That's great.
It's remarkable.
Congratulations. I'll give you a cobbler for that.
And the And the punt that he had the other day against the Bears that flipped the field, the 65-yarder, was exactly why they drafted him. But Tony's right. It's just not a topic that people are going to care about when you're 1-4.
But we've been talking about the same things with this football team for 3 weeks
I understand.
In a row.
Well, can we talk about the Gunners?
Let's go back to the Gunners. Why don't we break down the punter on Film Room Friday next week?
You know, I might do that next week.
Oh, gosh.
We could break down the cobbler. The
Hopefully you don't have to do that next week. Hopefully there's something you can go with. Hopefully.
I'm just trying to point out something because you know what, though?
But Jeff, I mean, listen.
That is an amazing accomplishment.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. That's like saying you're – I mean, I feel the guy's a great player. He's a great kicker. There's no doubt about it.
And you actually consider a punter a player?
Well, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
And there's every indication that he's going to get better.
Punters
are
going to
get
too.
Better hang time. But for right now, frankly, it's not even a topic.
It's not even worth talking about.
That I write about on Jaguars.com very much.
And it's unfortunate.
It's just not a topic.
Now, you're doing Brian Anger a disservice if you're not going to mention it.
No, because if they were –
I've mentioned it.
If they were 4-1 or 3-2, then it's like, oh, cool, we're good, and we have this great punter, and look at what a good pick, and all those great things. But when you're 1-4 and you lose 95-20 in your last in your home games, people don't want to hear about how good you punt the ball.
Wasn't that a children's book that came out a little while ago?
What do people want to hear about?
They want to hear how is it going to get changed?
Right.
Well, we
how is it
going to
get fixed?
We
what is
going
to happen to get better? How do we beat the Raiders? Well, great. Then let's talk about other stuff in the NFL.
Okay. Let's talk about
– I mean, am I wrong, John?
No, you're not wrong.
I know Jeff, I mean
– You guys are in cahoots tonight.
No.
Because I wanted to hear about the punter.
Well, we have.
We've heard about it now. And, I mean, we can go to the holder next if you like. You want to talk about the holder?
He is the holder.
I think the best holder in NFL history, according to Josh Scobie, has been Adam Podlish.
Shelly's riveted.
I saw his nose flare.
Hey, real quick.
You know, got angry.
You want to talk about things around the league? How about the Ravens, right? Obviously, they've lost Ray Lewis. They've lost Ladarius Webb. And today, Haloti Ngata did not play with an MCL sprain.
Yeah, only because I'm covering that game. Harbaugh said they plan on him playing, and they feel like the injury is minor.
Okay. Jimmy Smith, their cornerback.
I would say it's minor because I watched the game a little bit over the weekend, and it definitely affected his play.
But, I mean, it's a minor. He'll play this week.
Yeah, he'll play. Yeah. But, I mean, he won't be, no.
Right.
That's
the
question.
Well, they're not the same right now anyways. I mean, back-to-back.
All right, so are they better or worse without Ray Lewis?
I'll say this. Last year he missed 4 games with a toe, and the Baltimore Ravens had their 4 best defensive performances when he was not in there. They will miss his emotional and his leadership. You cannot question it. And Ray Lewis is a – first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe the best linebacker to ever play the game of football, middle linebacker. But he's 37 years old, 17 years in the league, and you just slow down. You lose athletic ability. So they will become more athletic on that
defense.
Who's
going to take over for him?
Ellerby.
I know I lost a lot of athletic ability when I turned 37.
You've never had athletic ability.
Never.
Never. So I – if you get over the question, so the question is does the loss of his presence and his emotional kind of energy and leadership.
Yeah, but he's still going to provide that on the sideline.
You would think. And so I think, you know, it's almost you feel bad saying it, but they might become more athletic, which would help them.
Well, but will they still be the same defensive minded team once Ray Lewis goes?
I mean, they're not right now.
Flacco is rising, you know,
it's
Lewis
Flacco's
is leaving.
That team is going to go as far as Joe Flacco takes them. That defense is below average. And what happens in the NFL and happens all the time is you have a perception for a unit or a team because they're good for so long that you have a hard time of differentiating that that's not who they are. They are the 26th rated defense in the NFL. They have given up back-to-back 200-yard performances, and they give up 226 to the Raiders, who are averaging 73 going into the game. I mean, they're
bad.
About
rushing yards.
Right. They are bad,
but they're really good offensively.
Oh my gosh, they have Ray Rice, you know, Anquan Boldin, maybe one of the best possession receivers in football, with Torrey Smith who can fly, Pitta and Dixon at the tight end position, and they have a above average offensive line, although. the tackles struggled 2 weeks ago against the Chiefs. They were better.
And in this AFC right now, you don't need to be balanced.
The young tackle on the right is going to be good.
Yeah, but they both struggled against the Chiefs.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
While we're on the subject of the good teams in the AFC, the Texans the other night, was that a red flag, or is that just playing a dumb defense against the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I think it was a good – what I would worry about if I'm the Texans is that the Green Bay Packers – showed the formula to beat them. Now, how many teams can
get Aaron Rodgers?
Not just that, Jeff. They went three wides the entire game, and they forced the Texans into nickel personnel from the start. And so they took away all their 3-4 principles, all their blitz schemes, and they made them very vanilla up front. And they purposely stayed in three wides the entire game, so they were facing a 4-man front, 6 in the box, and they ran against it and they threw against it. Now, you were correct that Aaron Rodgers is, how many teams have Aaron Rodgers, but so let's say the Baltimore Ravens play the Houston Texans. They very easily go three wide, single back with Ray Rice there the whole night, and if you get them in that front, they look pretty ordinary.
All right, our final break. We'll come back and look at the NFL schedule for this weekend when we return to Latitude 30 for Jaguars This Week. Joe?
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, continues on Jaguars Radio. Well, the Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits, like Teal Deals and the Gate Guest Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com. Click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start entering and earning your rewards today.
All right, final segment. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna.
Did we cover the punter yet?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
But here's what I'm asking you for.
I mean, people are tweeting me. saying I want to hear more conversation about the punter.
Pacelli's just hoping that we can get the punter update sponsored every week. All right? At least as he makes his run towards
the chase.
Yeah, exactly.
For Sammy Baugh.
So here, let's look at the schedule for this week. A great Thursday night game, huh? Seattle and San Francisco.
It is a great game.
It's a very good game.
And when they put that schedule together, they probably had no idea. You know what I mean?
They knew San Francisco would be good.
Is it in San Francisco?
But they weren't expecting Seattle to be.
I think that's a 17-10, 17-14 San Francisco win.
I'm looking forward to that game because I really like watching Pete Carroll's defense. I mean, I played in that
defense.
They
play hard, man.
And they play hard, and they're very talented up front. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Earl Thomas has really turned into a really good safety.
That's why they took him instead of the other option, which is in Cincinnati now, Taylor Mays,
yes.
Which Pete Carroll had that option. And, of course, there was kind of a little bit of a stink about it because Taylor Mays was upset because he was
But then Taylor, he moved quite a bit down in the first round, didn't he?
Yeah, bottom end of the first round, I believe.
All right, Sunday games, Tennessee at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot going on
those
there.
Those are two teams that are just very good.
Buffalo's tied for first, aren't they?
Yeah, but come on. They're you talk about being disappointed to spend $100 million on Mario Williams and get that.
That's what you get in free agency.
And Mark Anderson on the other side who got hurt, and they've brought Sean Merriman back. One of the worst – I mean, they give up more points than about anybody ever in the history of the NFL. And, the frustration has to be at an all-time high. They are 3-3 in a bad division, so
you take their record in a minute.
Oh yeah, I would, but we're 1-4. That's not really. I mean, I take a lot of records right now.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can light you up with this one: Cleveland at Indianapolis. Now the storyline.
I'll say this:
Mike Holmgren leaving.
But I think that is a tough matchup for the Colts because Trent Richardson is going to run right down them, and the Colts do not do a good job stopping the run. They struggle against the Redskins and they struggle against that's how we beat them. And I think Trent Richardson will have a big night and I think he's a little bit banged up. His ribs were bruised, but they expect him to play, and I think
it'll be fun to watch that game because the Browns got their corner Joe Hayden back. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game. It's at Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck has looked very good at times and certainly has a lot of poise.
All right, if Aaron Rodgers can throw 6 touchdowns against the Houston Texans defense. What will he do in St. Louis?
You know, I don't know.
St. Louis is pretty good at home.
That's going to be an interesting one.
I think it's much closer than people think.
Yeah, I don't think.
You're not going to throw six touchdowns in back-to-back weeks.
I think it's going to be a close game.
I think St. Louis could win that.
Yeah, because the Packers, as good as they looked the other night, have been very up and down, really dating back to the end of last season.
Yeah, they lost to the Colts.
Well, and even though they got it taken away from them in Seattle, it was close enough that it had a chance to get taken away from them. And last year this time, they were blowing people out. So they still haven't really shown that they're going to be that team that's going to be there.
I think Green Bay wins, but I think it's closer than people think.
Here's one that looked like a stinker early on before the season was played. Arizona at Minnesota, but it's anything but.
I think Arizona has.
I'm not a believer in either one of those teams.
Really?
No.
Although I think Arizona probably will win and they'll be 5-2. Go figure.
I think Arizona's got a chance to be there at the end. Certainly more than Minnesota, but I'm with you. I think they win that game.
What is it you don't believe about Minnesota?
I don't think they're that great. I mean, I think they certainly have. I'm not a believer in Ponder yet. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that could throw the ball here in a little short stuff. When you've got Percy Harvin and Adrian Peterson, I'm just not a big believer in him yet. I'm not saying I dislike him.
He threw for
him.
Like 350 yards last week or the week before.
No, I know. I'm just not – he's got a lot to prove, more to prove to me.
All right. Washington at the New York –
something for you to chew on there, Michelle.
And he always speaks so highly of you.
I know.
All right.
That's okay.
Washington at the New York Giants.
Well, I think it's a great – RG3 gives you a chance in every game what he's able to do. He better get down because some of those – that front seven –
this could be the game that he gets knocked out for the year.
No, I don't think so.
And the Giants have been sporadic early, but they look like a team that could start running them off.
I'm just telling you, one of these weeks we're going to be talking about how RG3 is out for the year.
I agree with that.
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
And I hope not either because
he's really good for the league.
He's good for the game, good for the league, good for fans. But last week, 2 weeks ago, he had the concussion thing, and he ended up playing this past week. And by the way, Tiki Barber wrote something for USA Today, which I thought was embarrassing. And I can't believe my Virginia guy wrote it, criticizing RG3 for playing 1 week after getting a concussion in which the doctors
he was cleared by an independent neurosurgeon.
I know
tell
that.
Tiki to shut up.
I know that, but
I mean that doesn't make sense. How can a third person like Tiki Barber?
Can we disown him? Is that possible? We can say he's not an alum of Virginia anymore.
But if you throw him out, you got to throw the brother, and the brother's pretty good.
No, I like the brother.
How do you? I don't understand how Tiki can write that about and criticizing a individual player making a decision about his own health after he was cleared by an expert, and you, being a non-expert, are going to enter the conversation and criticize him.
Haven't you ever gotten the impression of listening to Tiki anytime he's talked that he believes he really is an expert?
Well,
okay, we got 2 minutes left in a couple of games to get through. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
New Orleans.
Dallas at Carolina.
Oh, I'm going with the Cowboys, man. They're so much better than they've been playing so far. After listening to Jerry Jones, I mean, they're so close. They just need to perform a little better.
Panthers.
I'm not sure either one of those teams is any good.
No.
That was my sarcastic. Jerry Jones, he's hilarious, so. I love the guy.
He's good for the game.
He is one of the best guys you could ever talk to in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He is entertaining. He is
engaging.
Very personable, engaging. He's got it all going on. And if people ever wondered why he's been a success in life.
Just talk to him.
Yep. Absolutely.
Tremendous. Baltimore at Houston's the game you've got.
That's a great game.
Oakland we've talked about. Baltimore, Houston?
Yeah, it's a great
game.
It's a great game.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
He can't.
I'm taking Houston.
Why can't I?
Analysts never pick the game they're calling.
That's stupid. I don't understand that. It's dumb. Like, what am
they
I
don't.
Doing?
They're
not allowed to?
Who you got then?
They don't.
Just can you give some sign language.
No, I pick it every week. Who do I get? I don't know. It's a pick 'em. I can't.
There you go.
See, oh, boy, that's great.
I don't pick 'em. Jets at the Patriots.
I'm going to Patriots.
Steelers at the Bengals.
Steelers.
Bengals.
Ooh. Detroit, Chicago.
I don't think Steelers are very good either.
Steelers aren't very good.
They can't run on defense.
Lions and Bears Monday night.
Bears.
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 Joe, Eagles, off. See you.